Good morning. Good morning. How you doing? Open phones. Tim and I were having a lengthy crossover. And then all of a sudden the music ended and I was on the air. So good morning. Good morning. Beautiful day here in Fairhaven. It's Christmas week. It's a short week for me and for Tim. Obviously for Fun 107, they're not here. They're already gone. Merry Christmas. By the way, if you see Gazelle, it's his birthday. Well, yesterday was his birthday. If you see Gazelle from Fun 107, wish him a happy birthday. Pretty close to Jesus' birthday as well. All right. The first hour, open phones. Second hour, we'll be joined by Ward 3 City Councilor Sean Oliver in the 10 o'clock hour. 11 o'clock hour, we're going to have Mass Fiscal Alliance for a little bit. They're always great guests, and they're doing a lot for the taxpayers of Massachusetts and the electric rate payers. And there'll be open phones as well on that. So, there's a lot of hostility in the last hour. I didn't hear it all entirely. I wouldn't call myself a witness to the Burgos segment. I was in and out. We were on the ride over. We were listening to it. Me and Chris Dextrader from South Coast Towing. What a great company South Coast Towing is. Chris Medeiros, of course, Prince Henry's Man of the Year for all the charitable work he does. And you can trust your family to South Coast Towing. They're the sponsors of the WBSM app as well. So if you ever need them, you can just pull up the app and there they are right there. But you should also have their phone number in your phone, South Coast Towing. So anyway, I was listening to a lot of hostility and laughter by the city council president. I think you guys asked too much of the man, to tell you the truth. I think he's pretty, I don't think he knows a lot. It's not that he wants to be argumentative. It's that you catch him with questions he doesn't know the answers to. And so, because he's a limited guy, he just reacts poorly. That's why I always thought it was cruel to make him the city council president. Because I knew he wasn't up for the job. And this year has shown that. Maybe that was for the better. Not for him. But for the long run of the city. Because he didn't have a lot of power as city council president. But getting to more important things. The slaying of the physicist up at MIT. The shooting at Brown University, the investigation, the whole thing. What did you think of it? Do you have confidence in the leaders of the capital city just down 195 from us, Providence? The fact that the guy ended up in New Hampshire and he killed himself. Look, I'm a big fan of law enforcement. You know that. But the guy stopped himself. He killed himself. He dispatched himself. God only knows how many other people he would have killed. But for the fact that he had mercy on the rest of us by killing himself. This foreigner with a firearm who shot up Brown University and then went and killed an incredible professor in nuclear fission. Fusion. It wasn't Providence PD or the state police or the FBI that stopped him. He killed himself. He stopped himself. I think that should be at the forefront of the conversation. The fact that this maniac killed himself. He stopped himself. He decided it was going to be over, and he killed himself. It wasn't Providence PD. It wasn't the mayor of Providence. It wasn't the state police in either Mass or Rhode Island. It wasn't the FBI. He killed himself. He put an end to his reign of terror by killing himself. Everybody else. And look, I know a lot of people want to just move on, but I think it's important to do an after-action review on what happened and how it happened and how the guy was able to do it and get away with it. People need to be held accountable, in my opinion. It was really outrageous what happened down there at Brown University. And why did it happen, you know? Well, anyway, Merry Christmas. And it's a magical time of the year here on the South Coast. When your car won't start, your wallet's empty, and that special somebody on your list has champagne dreams. So don't panic. Mid-City Scrap in Westport has your back. They are paying top dollar for junk cars, running cars, rusted cars, even frozen solid cars. It really doesn't matter. They'll tow it for free. They'll get it out of your sight, and you'll get the cash you need for your Christmas gifts. That means more cash for gifts, heating oil, and let's be honest, more eggnog. Call Mid-City Scrap today or stop by 548 State Road in Westport. Mid-City Scrap, turning junk cars into cash all winter long. All right. I'm going to take a quick break and then we'll be back. It's open phones. I want to hear from you this morning. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store, but the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben.
Well, welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy of the audience. Kind of open phones this morning. If it's on your mind, I want to hear it. It is beginning to look a lot like Christmas, right? So that's good. Little Michael Bublé. By the way, he looks just like Jesse Sanchelet. So Jesse looks like Michael Bublé. I don't know who came first. I guess Bublé probably came first. But anyway. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, my friend. How are we doing?
Good. How you doing, my friend?
I'm hanging in there. Hey, I was able to catch on the cable TV the other day the presentation made by new Chief Thody, okay, before the city council.
Yes.
And I was very impressed. I thought he represented himself very well. And one of the questions, and again, I'm going to this out of memory, that was asked of him was, would he come before the council in the future and this and that, and upon request? He said, if you request me to come, I come. He said, this is the, you know, you asked me to come this time, and I came, you know, that sort of stuff. And so I was very... I was very impressed by his presentation and his knowledge and his background in Hartford and things that he wanted to do and not want to do and stuff like that. So I thought it was a good return to normalcy, we'll call it, where the mayor submits a name and the council either confirms or denies. What say you, my friend?
So I saw the same presentation, and I agree with you. I saw him present earlier in the year, and he, again, I think the guy is squared away.
Yeah.
I liked when he started talking about the dirt bikes, right, and the ATVs and all that foolishness on the streets of New Bedford.
Yep.
Without saying it, he said the gloves were coming off. You know, without saying anything that could be used against him later by some slip and fall lawyer going after, you know, looking for money for a 30-year-old guy who gets injured being chased by the police. He basically, you could tell, he's a serious guy.
Yeah, and but he kind of showed that he wasn't a Yahoo type of guy that's serious. You know what I mean?
Yes.
In other words, he presented it in a proper way, and, you know, he's in control of himself. And I'm not knocking any of the people that are in the police department who would like to be the chief and didn't get it, because I understand how you feel when you're in a position and you're in the same position and you're hoping to get ahead and you don't, and you feel what's all these years I've given of service, and now I'm thrown aside for somebody outside that hasn't done anything. So I understand that, okay? But in spite of that fact, you know, he even mentioned something about he was looking to the deputy chiefs to you know, train them as to, you know, what it would take to move on in the future. They also asked a question or two about if he would do something that he shouldn't do, unlawful, I guess. And he said, well, look, if I was asked to do something unlawful, I've already made my mind up about this. And again, I'm paraphrasing. I would leave before I would do something that wasn't legal. So, I thought he presented himself very well, and he's open to meet with the city council should they call him. Things could come up, you know, I think, I'm paraphrasing, things could come up, but if available, so certainly would feel that would be one of his things that he would do. So I was impressed with the presentation and impressed with him.
Yeah, I was impressed with him. I have been, and we're hoping to get him in. I talked to, the mayor and I talked about it last. The mayor will be here tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
He knows, you know, that he's going to come in, you know.
Yeah.
He wants to get his side of the story out. It's good that you're there.
And look, it's always better to come in on your sort of your own terms than when a crisis makes you have to come in, and now you're playing catch up, you know?
Yep.
And because, you'd like to introduce yourself, as we all do, on your own terms.
Well, he did a nice job.
In the best circumstances.
Yeah, he did a nice job, and I just hope that things could be turned to normal with that process about the mayor submits a name and the council either confirms or denies. You know, shared power. Not autocratic power, that sort of stuff. And that, to me, that's normal, you know. And this idea about, I can just put anybody in, I don't need their approval, I think that's wrong. That's not democratic. That's not American. And I know the former mayor, Scott Lang, agreed with that, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. But I just don't think that's an American way to do things. You submit a name, and then the council confirms it. Nice. The only thing I feel sorry for is the councils that are outgoing, that they won't get the chance to finally confirm, and it goes on to the next year, and some of them won't be there.
Well, they should have campaigned harder.
Well, there's one person that decided not to return, too.
Right. Oh, Linda, again,
on her as well, I'm going to miss her being on. I know she doesn't have the same opinion a lot of times as some people. But
that's all right.
That's fine. As far as the budget on the council, they're losing. So I'm not saying other councils don't know the budget, but she was the best on the budget as far as I'm concerned. And it having her opinion about it and having her insight on it, they're going to lose that, and that's going to be hard to replace.
No, I agree with you, but her caustic personality, I think really cost her a lot.
If you've been there a long time, okay, sometimes instead of issues, personality takes over and past, fights and stuff like that and things of that nature. You know yourself sometimes with some of your callers, you can, get upset, but that doesn't mean that we don't keep on talking,
sort of thing. Right. Right.
And it's not personal, it's business.
Thank you, my friend.
That movie, I'll tell you, it's so wise,
It'll be on a lot this holiday season. Thanks for the call. He's talking about The Godfather, right? But Brian Gomes has never really become a sour person. He's been there a long time. Just the way it is. 508-996-0500. This holiday season, Shooting Supply is the deals you need. Save $90 on the Smith & Wesson 9mm Shield EZ. Now just $399. The new Sig Sauer P365X Macro is in stock. Come see the latest in America's most popular handgun line. On a budget, the Taurus G3C with a lifetime warranty, just $219 after the rebate. 500 rounds of Winchester service-grade 9mm ammunition, only $119. Gift cards are available for the hard-to-find sportsman in your life. Find the best holiday deals at Shooting Supply. Located at 848 State Road in Westport or online at shootingsupply.com. Let's go back to the phones. Kind of open phones, guys. If it's on your mind, I want to hear it. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Carlos. How you doing? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. A little under the weather. There's some bug going around.
Yeah,
my whole house is gonna. Dear God. But I'm pushing through. Anyway, I was on, I'm not sure if you heard the segment earlier with Cheese Burgo.
I heard part of it. I heard it in and out.
Yeah. And I called up, and I was trying to be reasonable with the guy, but for some reason he starts laughing. I don't understand why does this man, especially in his position, he's an elected official, why does he think it's funny with what's going on with the illegal immigrants in the city? He's really pretending that this stuff's not going on in our city. There's 20,000 plus illegal immigrants in our city, and it's putting a strain on so many different things, from police, health, fire, school. We literally have to build a health center at the high school because of the possible problems that could come from having all these illegal aliens in the school that are being treated and given their immunity shots or whatever.
So, Carlos, have you ever thought that you're giving Shane Burgo too much credit? In other words, I've said it from the beginning. I know the guy. I think he's a jolly guy. He's a good singer. He's probably a fun guy to be around. But he's a very limited guy. In other words, maybe he's not intellectually capable of recognizing the damage to his city and the crisis, and that he shouldn't be in that position. I said that from the beginning.
It's insane. I mean, if you have half a brain, you'd understand that it's basically an invasion into our city, and it's taken a toll. It's taken a huge toll.
I heard him laughing, and it sounded like a crazy person. And that's, I don't like to say that, but that's what it sounded like to me. And I kept thinking to myself, people have put this guy in a position that he's not capable of handling, and that he's a limited guy. And so, like, you should feel bad for him. He doesn't belong in that position. That's what I feel.
I mean, yeah, that would make sense. Either that or he's ignoring it purposely, and I would hate to believe that. I mean, as a city official.
Well, that would make him limited too, right? In other words,
right. You
have a crisis in front of you. You've been elected to manage the budget of the city and the policies of the city, and you're laughing in front of the entire world on a radio station. I mean, that's not normal behavior.
And you know, people are desperate. You know, the taxes are being raised, and they're always talking about how they want to, lower the tax rate and everything. But yet he's going to ignore this huge situation that's having a direct impact on all of it. And he just totally ignored it. And, yeah, I mean, maybe he is. Maybe he's limited. Maybe
he's
he doesn't
definitely
have the brain
limited.
Understand.
He doesn't understand cause and effect.
Yeah. I mean, this is insanity. It really is. This is an elected official, people.
But don't blame him. Blame the people in New Bedford who elected him. And then the city councilors, the six, that made him the city council president.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And it's sickening. It really is, because I've been at this for a while. I've been following the politics here in the city, and it's like we're chasing our own tail here. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't get it. I appreciate it, Chris. Thank you.
No problem, my friend. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Again, you don't blame the person who's limited for being limited. You blame the people around him who elevated him to a position beyond his ability. That's who's at fault. Because they couldn't tell him no. I mean, five city councilors had the ability to say, hey, no, I can't go along. I know you want it, but I can't go along with it. I don't think you're the guy for the job. And I know it's going to hurt your feelings, but I'd rather hurt your feelings than hurt my city. Six of them didn't feel that way for whatever reason. Maybe they're limited, right? Maybe they're limited. 508-996-0500. Open phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris.
Hello.
9 o'clock, I went in to shave in the bathroom. I brought the radio, and I said, I wonder who's going to be on today. Because sometimes you're not there. I'm glad you're on.
Oh, no, me too. I'm glad. When I'm not here, that usually means there's a problem going on in my life with me physically, and my health. But fortunately, today it's not.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about this kid, Burgo. I think he's just a foolish, incompetent person. You were talking about the Brown University incident.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you should be talking. Everybody should be talking about that. I understand the president of that university is going to go before Congress, and there's a lot of questions that she's going to answer for. If you ever been to the St. Luke's Hospital, which you have,
yes,
and
I
a lot
have.
Of people have,
yes.
You see the security they have there. People watch the monitors, and sometimes the certain doors are locked. You have to go through them. And they do, they walk through the building. They walk through the concern outside and inside, for security. But I couldn't believe the security they have at the Brown University. Homeless person was living in there, and they must have known about it.
Of course. It's ridiculous.
And then I couldn't believe my ears when I heard 30 rapes within 2 years. Did you hear that?
I have heard that.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. If you have a daughter, would you put her in that college? Your safety is not secure.
I have relatives who spent 4 years there. I know other people that spent years there, women. And, yeah, it's, I mean, Providence is, you know, Providence can be a dangerous city. There's no doubt about it. Now, this goes back a number of years ago, but my older brother was robbed in Providence, strong-arm style robbery. Aaron Burke and I were there one night. We were in high school. His father's car was broken into. I remember because it was a snowy night, and they broke the window, and they broke the heater. So we had to ride in a BMW with broken window and no heat in a snowstorm from Providence to Lakeville. You don't forget that. There are shootings all the time. Yeah, I mean, if you watch Rhode Island news, I'm sure you do. There's shootings in Rhode Island, Providence, all the time.
Well,
just not at the Brown community, you know.
What happened at this university should be a wake-up call to all the schools.
Yes.
All over the nation, especially in this area. I understand some officials in the school don't even want police officers in the school. Well, something happens that somebody's got to be held responsible.
Yes, and you would hope that most public institutions would learn from the Brown University episode rather than just put their head in the sand, right?
Yeah.
You hope.
In this day, what we're going through in this nation right now, so security means a lot in everywhere. People's life depends on it.
Look, that was a gun-free zone, I guarantee. In other words, no professors were allowed to carry a handgun. No students were allowed to carry a handgun. And this former student knew that. He knew they were sitting ducks.
Yes. Yes, well, it's like I say, it should be a wake-up call. We'll see what happens.
We will. Thank you, my friend. 508-996-0500. Kind of open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. I am still very concerned with the shooting at Brown, how that went down, and the investigation, the pursuit. And remember, the guy didn't get caught. He killed himself. He was not stopped by the FBI, Providence Police, Mass State Police. None of them. He killed himself. He decided it was over, and he ended it. And what could have been prevented, including possibly the murder of the MIT professor, his former classmate in Lisbon, right? Maybe not, but it's possible. Let me see. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. Gilly Fatfield.
Hey, Gilly, what's happening?
You know, this morning with Virgo, okay? See if you remember this. You know, he called me a liar for the incident that happened when he was late for a meeting when I was walking out with the chief, Paulo Oliveira. And we were like around the corner. And he came in and he was late for the meeting in the first place where they were asking questions. And he stopped and he just took over the conversation. He wasn't allowing me to speak. And I said to him, you should have been in there asking him questions in there, not out here.
Right.
And do you remember me calling you up and saying that Virgo was against the shots? Think that he wasn't going to support it?
The shot spotter thing, yes.
Didn't I call you and I said to you what he said to the chief of police out in the hallway, not inside the chambers, that he wasn't going to support that?
That's my recollection as well.
Okay. He called me a liar. I said, I've never said a lie. It's unbelievable. And I love what the gentleman said. He doesn't live in the city. And gave him a whipping education about you should have more patience when people are calling in. But the idea is he's denying what I have said. I even have said, if I ever said anything without proof, where I show you? You know what I mean? It's unbelievable the lies that he says. And I just want to remind everybody, you see what happened at election time? He came in third.
Right. He dropped in the old, big time.
Okay, big time. So where's this credibility? He called me a liar. So people out there that know me, when I call it, I have proof. And even Tim said that. But as long as you remember when he interrupted my conversation with Paul Oliveira outside the hallway, because he was late at the meeting, and he said to Paul that he wasn't going to support the shot spotter thing. And that I called you right away. I don't know if it was the next day or right after. And I said that to you.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay, as long as I have a little bit of credibility now. No, because the people understand what you're coming from, Chris.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Gilly. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for the contribution. 508-996-0500. Look, I think it was an act of cruelty by the people of New Bedford to elect Shane Burgo to the city council. And a further act of cruelty, deliberate cruelty, I think, on some people's part, to make him the city council president. That's my honest belief. And I came here throughout that entire election for city council president and told you I didn't think the guy was capable of doing the job, and that he's a nice enough guy. He's jolly. He wants to be, you know, kind of famous, but that he's a limited guy. And when you heard him laughing like an insane person today on the radio, it's just obvious. He's a jolly but limited guy. And he shouldn't be in charge of millions of dollars and thousands of people's lives, their jobs. That's nowhere. It's not a position for him, being a city councilor. Certainly not city council president. And it's ridiculous. It's cruel. It's cruel. But anyway, 508-996-0500. Plumbing emergencies, they do not wait, and neither should you. At Bass Ready Rooter, they treat every call like it's their own home. It's a family-owned business that's been solving sewer and septic problems since 1974. Bass Ready Rooter gives solutions the right way with honesty and respect. All right? That's why plumbers and neighbors recommend them. Write this down. Hopefully you don't need to use it today, but if you do, it's bassready.com. Bassready.com. I see you on hold. If you'd like to join the program, you can. It's 508-996-0500. Take a break. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on.
Welcome back to the program. I know that upgrading your home's energy efficiency can feel overwhelming, but with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions, whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps. They will even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. So, a really good synopsis of the Brown University shooting and the, quite frankly, the debacle that happened around it and why it happened was done by Matt Walsh. Matt Walsh has got a YouTube show and a podcast. He's a writer. He's done a couple films, I believe. Writes for National Review. Might write for Reason Magazine as well. But anyway, I heard this podcast. I'm going to play a little clip of it. I would encourage you to track it down and check it out yourself in its entirety. But I thought I'd play a little clip of it because I know some of you are too busy or don't have the technology to hear Matt Walsh. So I thought I'd play the clip for you about Brown University.
Once again, the authorities did not answer.
The camera in that building that Brown put up because the sanctuary city law that we have, you don't want to record illegal immigrants, and you don't want to provide the footage to the FBI or immigration authority. One camera in that building, it come out from your detectives, they are friends of mine, they're angry at this investigation that these people in Brown University put the camera up that can identify that person. You imagine how the family want to go through?
We
tell the truth to the media here.
We heard from both the Brown police chief and the provost at Brown, who have shared that they have been fully cooperative and shared, been forthcoming with all data and evidence that they have. That was not the only moment the authorities gave an unsatisfactory answer on this point. 2 days ago, the attorney general stated that some buildings on campus are old, and therefore it's simply unrealistic to expect a multi-billion dollar university to put cameras on those buildings. This is reminiscent of the Secret Service's excuse about sloped rooftops, if you remember that. Watch.
It doesn't come as a surprise to me, at least, that there are cameras in the newer part of the building. And there is video footage, okay? So there's the back part of the building, old part, and front part, new part. The shooting occurs in the old part, towards the back, up towards Hope Street. In that older part of the building, there are fewer, if any, cameras in that location. I imagine because it's an older building. So as students are fleeing the area of the shooting into the new part of the building, there are cameras in that brand new building that show that chaos. But the only video of the presumed, anticipated, suspected, however you want to define it, person of interest, you have it. We would release it if we thought it would be helpful in identifying this subject, because we are relying on the press and public to help get us there. There would be no reason for us to hold it back. We're looking for the best image we can.
Now, the answer never made any sense. For one thing, as Fox reported, there are older buildings on the campus, including the president's residence, that have cameras. And secondly, it's not hard to install a camera on a building of any age. You can install a camera on a tree trunk if you want to. You just need a drill. I mean, it's like claiming that you can't wear brand new shoes and walk on a really old floor. It makes no sense. It's like if someone says, man, your shoes look really old. Well, yeah, the floor's old. What do you expect? You need to get some new shoes. Well, I can't. You know how old these floors are? But there's no need to overthink it, because within 24 hours, this answer completely changed once again. Suddenly, according to Brown's provost, there were cameras in the building. Turns out. And as a reporter pointed out before he was cut off, the provost's answer was nonsensical. Watch.
100 cameras located throughout the campus. We don't publish the locations of the cameras. That would give a map to somebody to evade detection on the cameras. So that would be counterproductive to do that. There are cameras in this building. And as I answered the previous question, we have turned over all evidence that we are holding at Brown to law enforcement and are cooperating fully with them.
So you're saying that there's a camera, you're saying there's cameras in the building. I was told yesterday there wasn't cameras in the building. The Attorney General said, old building, no cameras, attached to a new building with cameras.
I believe he said that there were two different phases of the building that might have two different levels of technology. Again, all video imagery has been turned over to law enforcement.
But that doesn't make sense for many people. I just want to say that.
So that about sums it up. Nothing about this investigation makes sense, which means that in a roundabout way, it makes perfect sense. This is what you get when you hire university presidents and police chiefs based on their gender and ethnicity. It's what you get when you tolerate riots and terrorism on college campuses all over the country in the name of global jihad. And most of all, it's what you get when leftists, from students to school administrators to public officials, feel like their ideology is losing at a national level. You get dead conservatives. And then you get gloating. The account Aesthetic on X, which has been one of the most trustworthy sources for
All right, so that's Matt Walsh, episode 1710 of his podcast on YouTube. Episode 1710, Matt Walsh. That was just a clip of it. It's about, I think, about an hour long. Yeah, it's worth your time to go check it out on YouTube or podcasts, things like that. I go out and find these things so you don't have to, and I give you the Cliff Notes version of it. But I'm going to take a break, and then we'll be right back. Remember, Ward 3 City Councilor Sean Oliver will be here in the next hour. Stick around. Program, I'm Chris McCarthy. Kind of open phones here. In the next hour, we'll be joined by Sean Oliver, Ward 3 City Councilor. And 11 o'clock, we'll have Mass Fiscal Alliance for a little while. We may have Amy DeCibio as well to give us an update on what's going on with offshore wind. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hi. Good morning, Chris. How are you? It's Catherine.
Hey, Catherine. How are you? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, and Happy New Year if I don't call you before then or see you. I wanted to just go back to Shane Burgo for a minute.
Sure.
I was thinking he was on the program, but he's not. And since he brought up my name and Paul's and maligned it a few weeks ago, I'd just like to clear the air on it. He had used the word, the term smear campaign, that Paul and I had initiated a smear campaign against him before the election. And that because I called him out about when Paul and I were in Neighbors, we're having trouble with the college kids across the street.
Yes.
Which I will tell you about another time. It's been resolved, but there's more to talk about.
Okay.
And the only reason Shane's name was ever mentioned was because he was one of the people who at a meeting chose not to try to help us. And that's the only reason. Shane is, I care about him as a human being, but he's not important in my life to the extent that I would campaign against him.
Right.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. So I just wanted to clear that up.
I appreciate that. Look, I have said it. He's a limited guy. And, I mean, it's just the way it is, and it's not his fault in a lot of ways.
I don't know. I don't know whose fault it is, why he said what he said. It's not my nature to invoke smear campaigns anyway, number one. And number two, there's so much else that's important in the world to me. I mean,
yes.
It's just absurd to even have said what he said. So, that's it.
No, I appreciate it, Catherine. Thank you so much. Don't be a stranger. 508-996-0.